Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today. Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Morning to one and all. It is Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
We got Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way, AB with your update, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific, Sirius 206 XM, 206 Sirius XM app, channel 206 as well. Taz, welcome back, brother. How are you, bud?
Oh, Moose, so nice sitting back here with you, my friend. I'm back. I've missed you. It's been 3 days. Thank you, everyone, our live studio audience. Thank you. Everyone here missed me in the newsroom. Everybody was put me over. Nice fade out on that. I got a lot of love in the newsroom. I got people in the lobby saw me when I showed up early this morning. It's great to be loved, Moose. It's great to be loved.
Nice. So Cooper said hello downstairs.
Yeah,
good to know.
He did. He said, oh, nice. Dad, what's up? This is what you do. When you're nice to people, Moose, people are nice. But you put out in the world, you get back.
Right.
You know that. You're a nice
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
You're a
yeah.
nice man. You understand.
No doubt.
How was things with AB before we go on talking sports? How did that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sure?
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll talk to him.
No, we had a fantastic 3 days. I think it might have been right up there. Some of the best radio we've ever done.
Wow, really? I wasn't even here. I mean, you have a mouse in your pocket? What is AB in your pocket? What about this, though?
I'm
what
just
about this?
Your
no,
no.
Well, did you guys put me over? Did you mention me a lot?
No, we did not.
Like going into breaks?
No.
Taz will be back.
Nope.
Countdown, Taz. No. Countdown to Taz, no.
No.
I have a lot more vacation time coming up. I'm going to be gone a lot.
No. Amazingly enough, we didn't spend our time talking about you.
No.
No.
You missed the boat.
Really?
All right.
Can I get a ding?
Thank you.
I didn't think that audience pop started to show.
What?
Hey, can you get a little audience react when your
right.
boy Taz is...
Well, no, no question.
I call for my own audience.
I understand, so. Yes. Trust me. That's part and parcel of it all. Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, the 18's back together, AB, you jobber.
Why are you taking shots at
him? I don't know. I just felt like... I actually had a good convo with AB earlier, so...
Wait,
I don't know. I just felt like ripping him for no reason.
No, don't worry.
No, it's all good. It's good.
Yeah, no, there's not going to be no transition, no change.
So you don't think they're trying to replace me, you're saying, with AB?
No.
And just call the show Taz and the Moose with AB?
Wrestlers are sensitive, man.
Oh, very paranoid.
I mean, very paranoid.
Very paranoid.
Oh, my God.
Was he really good, AB?
It's amazing. It really is.
Was
it's
he like?
It's
did
amazing.
You, was he funny?
One day, I'd like to be a fly on the wall. When
was he handsome?
At the Taz household. At that Taz household, and the conversations with you and your wife. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
To be honest, this show never came up once while I was gone.
I'm not talking about those 3 days. Oh. The last 3 days, you're a busy man. I'm talking about over the last 6 months.
Oh, 6 months. Oh, yeah, no. I don't know. I'm trying to find an exit plan to get out of here, to be honest.
It was very nice. Well,
that's
good
between
to
you
know.
And I. We're not on it
well,
yet,
very,
right?
Good
it's
to
not
know.
Live yet, right?
Good
no.
to know.
Yeah. Working on an exit plan.
Trust me.
We got a meeting later. That might happen.
Trust me. I get it. I fully understand. We got plenty to get into over the course of the next 3 hours as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And David Robinson, the Admiral, will join us in studio coming up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 5 Pacific. So looking forward to that conversation. The former star in Navy and certainly with the San Antonio Spurs, Hall of Famer, legendary center.
Live in studio.
That's what I just said, correct? Okay. Live in studio, in person. That would be part and parcel, would go hand in hand. So,
welcome back, Tad.
There you go. Thanks for listening. Anyway, we kick it off with the NBA because you've got the draft tonight, which will take place over at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. And a lot of conversation certainly around Kawhi Leonard. And yesterday, you've had the big trade or a big name get traded because he's no longer a big-time player.
Right.
And that is Dwight Howard getting traded from Charlotte to Sean Marks in the Brooklyn Nets as Timofey Mozgov goes to Charlotte along with a second-round pick this year, second-round pick next year, cash considerations as well. $23.8 million is Dwight Howard due in this upcoming NBA season, final year of his contract. So the Nets, conceivably speaking, get out from underneath that contract. And next summer would have the financial wherewithal to sign two max players via free agency. Now it's a matter of trying to convince guys to go to Brooklyn and to play for Kenny Atkinson and the Brooklyn Nets, but that's neither here nor there. You've got to put yourself in the conversation before you can realize that, or maybe you get spurned. But right. The Nets will be in that conversation based on the trade. I think it's a great trade for Brooklyn. I mean, I think it is. Mozgov, who's got 2 years left on his deal, gets reunited with Mitch Kupchak down in Charlotte. Kupchak was the one who signed him to a big money long-term deal when he was still running the Los Angeles Lakers at that time, Taz. But you look at Dwight Howard, the star has fallen precipitously over the last 5 or 6 years, which is remarkable.
I know. It's interesting. Yeah, I think it's kind of cool for the Nets. I agree. But, I mean, you know, what do you think, man? I mean, I don't know. Locker room culture, as we know, in pro sports and college sports is very important, especially, in professional sports. So, you know, he's kind of – you don't really have – Dwight Howard doesn't really have, like, a great – it's not like he brings a – what's the right way I could say this to be diplomatic? He's not really known as, like, a guy that people want in the locker room. How about that? And he's been to a lot of he's been on a lot of teams the past several seasons. So it's kind of like, at what point are you a – highly paid journeyman, you know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, and I think we're probably at that stage now. Right. I mean, he doesn't. The reports out of Charlotte were that they couldn't stand him in the locker room. Certainly had issues getting along with Kobe Bryant. But yeah. I mean, Kobe Bryant had issues with Shaquille O'Neal had other issues with other players in Los Angeles too when he was still playing with the Lakers. So it's not at all in terms of surprising. What's amazing is at one point in time, you know, Dwight Howard was a top three, top four player in the sport when Stan Van Gundy was coaching the Orlando Magic. And whether it be drive, whether it be sacrifice, whether it be his personality, he's gotten well paid. He's never really lived up to, after the initial success, lived up to the player many people expected him to be. And you've seen teams gamble on still the potential of Dwight Howard, Taz. And this is not a gamble for the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets don't care Dwight Howard it does for them this upcoming NBA season. This is not a case where the Nets are saying to themselves, maybe now we could be a 40-win basketball team. No. The Nets are looking at it as a case of, we're going to get out from underneath the Timofey Mozgov contract, and we sweeten the pot with 2 second-round draft choices and some cash. So next summer we have some money to play with. So they're not looking at him that way, but Charlotte did, Houston did. I remember the headlines when the Lakers brought him aboard, Taz, and it was going to be showtime in Los Angeles once again with Kobe Bryant. They were going to win NBA championships. But think about this, the drop-off for him from where he was to where he is now, and now it's no longer potential because it's potential realized. He's a good player, he's just not great.
Correct. I don't think his value has ever really been lower than this as a player at this point, as an athlete, as an NBA star. I don't think his value has ever been lower. I mean, I hate to say that for Nets fans, but it's the way it is. I mean, Mikey B, you're a big Nets fan. I mean, are you happy? You think most Nets fans are happy about this with Dwight Howard? Are you happy about it?
Yeah, I'm happy, and for some of the reasons Moose just laid out, it's not really even about having him on the team as a star player. It's more about creating cap space for the following season. It's just stunning to see Dwight Howard become a salary dump.
Yeah, true, after what this guy has done in his career and his success early on and the hopes on him. You just got to worry about, not worry, but you know, keep an eye on the locker room thing, like I was saying earlier. That's important.
It is, and Atkinson's a guy that does allow his players a little bit of freedom, but I would imagine Howard, final year of his contract, with no security past this season, maybe would mind his P's and Q's a little bit more than if he had the security of a 3 or 4 year guaranteed contract. So, and Atkinson's also a coach that understands what chemistry is, and I think it also nips some things in the bud. And listen, if it doesn't work, Taz, here's what it comes down to. I mean, they could get out from there. If he's not handling himself well, or is a distraction, or is a hindrance to Kenny Atkinson, they'll get rid of him. I mean, they'll cut him. They don't care.
No.
I mean, no, it's not a matter of trying to win with Dwight Howard. It's a matter of money. That's really what it comes down to. So if he doesn't act accordingly, and if he's a pain in the rear end, and if guys can't stand him, the Brooklyn Nets will get rid of him.
I mean, listen, and I agree with you. And they cut the proper business deal the Nets did. So to your point earlier about freeing up money and all that jazz. But, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, if he is, if he's a hassle and becomes a quasi-cancer in that locker room, yeah, I'm sure they would cut him loose real quick.
Yeah, and so for it's stunning in nature in terms of the name and what was once perceived to be a generational talent who obviously has never lived up consistently to the player many experts thought he was going to develop into. And that's either on his own volition, whether it be him not putting the proper work, whether it be circumstance and change, whether it be personality, for a number of different reasons. Dwight Howard never lived up to it. And as Mikey B. just articulated, what he is right now is a salary dump. I mean, that is, and Dwight Howard is viewed as a bad contract, just as much as Timofey Mozgov is a bad contract. But the Charlotte Hornets, think about this, the Charlotte Hornets look at their situation, Taz, and they say it will be addition by subtraction. Timofey Mozgov can barely play, right?
Yeah.
So he's not a, but it will be addition by subtraction for our team to get him out of the locker room because we do not like his presence on our team. That, to me, tells you all you need to know about Dwight Howard and where he is at this stage and all the reports coming out of Charlotte, how his teammates couldn't stand him. Think about that aspect of it, where Charlotte's taking on an inferior talent, but they're happy to get rid of the superior talent because they couldn't take the personality that he brought with him.
Yeah, well, exactly. You want to get rid of that. I don't blame Shaw for doing that. It's a very funky deal. We'll see what happens. I mean, listen, maybe Dwight Howard, as he's getting older, maybe he's maturing, maybe this humbled him, maybe his demeanor will be different amongst his teammates in a locker room, all that jazz. Maybe this will inspire him. Maybe, if you look at everything optimistically, maybe. But, history shows guy has a little bit of a douchey attitude.
We head to Cleveland next. And how about the news coming out of Cleveland surrounding Kevin Love? And Kevin Love is one that has had a hard time finding the love from the fan base, certainly has had a hard time finding the love and affection of LeBron James and the support and the opened arms of LeBron James in Cleveland, Taz. But now reports are out of Cleveland is that if LeBron James decides to leave via free agency, and everyone seems to believe that it's just not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when he does leave the Cleveland Cavaliers, that's where, I mean, all the reports are leaning now. Maybe it surprises everybody because a lot of reports 4 years ago thought he was going down to Miami and staying with the Heat. So we'll see. Put all that aside, the Cleveland Cavaliers have basically said that if LeBron should leave, we still want Kevin Love here. So they're not going to do a complete and utter teardown. Dan Gilbert will get his opportunity to try and build a championship without the generational superior talent that LeBron James is. But they want Kevin Love there. And Kevin Love has said he wants to be in Cleveland. He likes playing for the Cavaliers. He likes the city. He hopes LeBron James stays. He didn't really think about whether or not Game 4 was the last time he was going to play with LeBron James. But the Cavaliers have... It's not going to be a complete and utter teardown. They have the 8th overall pick tonight. Kevin Love will be a foundational piece for their team moving forward, even if LeBron James decides to leave wherever that city might be.
Yeah, and you know what? I like Kevin Love. I mean, a lot of people say he's not, he's not exactly a hardened physical player. Like, he's injury prone in essence. He goes down a lot. Not a battle-tested type of tough guy feel out of him, but I think he's a good player, and I definitely think there's equity there in him. I mean, I don't think it helps. I would assume it doesn't help Kevin Love's confidence when the franchise you play for says, "Well, we're not actively shopping him around right now. The All-Star, we're not shopping him around. Even if Bron leaves, I don't think that helps your confidence. Just my opinion, but." Look, he's been trade bait before, right? So who knows? It could happen again, but they're saying it's not going to go down like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's good for Love. I mean, it is, and I think he understands it, what it means to be, the business aspect of it. As long as the money is flowing in, if they decide to move in another direction, but the Cleveland Cavaliers, I mean, they want a guy that actually wants to be there. Kyrie Irving no longer wanted to be there. They traded him to the Boston Celtics. If LeBron James feels like he did his due diligence for that city, finally brought a championship to the city of Cleveland, so now he is free and clear without guilt to be able to go wherever the hell he wants to go to, and maybe it ends up being the Los Angeles Lakers and decides to leave Cleveland. Now you've got a quote-unquote star player. Maybe he's not viewed the way that he once did when he was running with the Minnesota Timberwolves, but now you have a player that wants to be there. And the Cavaliers, in one way, shape, or form, have basically said, well, we would like him to be here as well. So they're not going to actively shop him. And I don't know exactly what the value would be for Kevin Love anyway via the trade market, too, because it's not like his value has gone up over the last 4 years of his NBA career.
Yeah, well, he's not getting any younger. And he missed a good here and there during the year. And he had some physical issues and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think he had a pretty solid season. And I'll tell you, like I said, I think the guy definitely has star power. He has name value. He'll draw people into that arena. They like him. It feels like the fans like him. And it depends, like you said, what happens tonight with the draft. I mean, you know, where do the Cavaliers go tonight? Assuming that, let's say, LeBron is out of there. You know, where do they go with that eighth pick? So we'll see. I mean, you know. And that could also depend on what happens with Love.
Is there an athlete that has fallen as hard as Dwight Howard, plus the projected number one pick, DeAndre Ayton, can't get his sponsored tweet correct? We'll get into all that and more next as we're just getting going. Back together again with you.
Oh, yes.
Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Bop, 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 bop. So, all right. God, how long is this thing? We give the number. Relax, pal. Where did he sit, Moose? Where did he sit? That's what everybody wants to know. The guy in the room
in his
right
normal
now.
Seat.
So you guys did the show. You guys did the show, and he sat over there. And I sat here. No one sat here.
No one sat there.
AB, you could have sat here, bro.
I know I could have. The problem is I was also doing updates, and I need to be at this computer.
That was not me. Okay.
To do them. So
that was a drop, actually.
Yeah, it didn't make sense to go back and forth, so I just stayed here the whole time.
Yeah, stayed there.
Well, no, because you multitask. That's what you
exactly.
do. You're talented.
But he had two jobs to do.
Yeah, he had two jobs to do.
So, yeah, he wasn't going to sit over there.
I thought he was going
to
sit over
there. No, he was more than welcome to sit there.
Well, I make that call. I told him he could have done that. Not you, Moose. That's my call, not yours.
No, so I'm co-host of the show. You can sit there wherever you want.
This is my seat, not your seat. You tell people who to sit in your seat. I tell people when to sit in my seat.
I thought...
You control your
chair. Is that Brendan Tierney's seat?
It's not Brendan Tierney's seat.
It is from 3 to 6.
Well, you could look at who's got a bigger following on social media and tell me who's over. How about
3,
that?
12-3 Pacific.
How many wins does he
have? How many titles has he held?
Exactly.
I got you. No,
how
no,
many
no.
podcasts so has he hosted?
I got you.
No. I offered the seat, and he decided to sit there. Just
who's
maybe,
he?
Bogus.
Oh, Bogus. Yeah. Pronouns.
Moose is a gentleman. He did offer the seat, and I said, no, thank you. Yeah. I need to stay here for technical reasons.
Oh, no, Moose will offer you a seat in his room, just not the one his ass is in. That's all I'm saying.
Whoa, what is he, supposed to sit on my lap?
No. But if you,
well, I mean, that, say, if how would that here, exactly work?
Well, listen, when you're not here, because I know you got like 7-8 weeks vacation lined up. So when you're not coming in,
right?
You have to kind of, wouldn't you think you have to say, hey, AB, if you'd like to sit in my chair, meaning the Moose, that's okay. I'm Mark Malusis. You could sit in my chair.
Yeah, he could sit in the chair.
Wow. All right.
I mean, if you'd like to sit here, that's fine.
But it's probably easier for him to sit there because he does the updates over there.
Well, it's right. Yeah.
People listen like. They don't understand, like, for a radio talent, TV talent.
But you didn't answer my question.
I didn't know it was a question. I'm ready for any question.
I'm prepared. I won't offer the seat that I'm sitting in. I said, would you like him to sit on my lap?
I'm supposed to answer that. I thought it was a rhetorical, sarcastic, comedic
It was.
Statement. No, I do not want to be here if he sits in your lap. That's not.
Well, you wouldn't be here.
Well, I don't know what you guys do when I'm not here. I don't know what kind of show it is. I don't know what, you know.
Not true.
You listen to the podcast.
That's not true.
What do you think?
You didn't listen?
You think?
Stop.
Well, no, I
did
listen.
You did listen. Stop.
I did.
You know,
I listened to the car.
On.
I listened to the hotel.
Stop playing. Stop.
I love everybody.
Stop.
Here.
Stop trying to play Big Man Jones. Right?
No,
I mean,
I'm not
honestly. Or the fact that I. Stop. I mean,
I do not want him sitting on your lap, Moose.
Right.
That's what I'm telling you.
Nobody wants that.
Right.
Nobody wants that. I don't believe in lap sitting anyway. When my kid was young, he wouldn't sit in my. No! Sit in your chair like a grown ass man.
That's why
Pete's
the last 3 days was like a holiday.
What do you mean?
Give me Western music. I need the Vince McMahon, then followed by a ding, and some rattlesnake noise.
And you just put the kibosh on lap sitting, which is a- was on the Pete wish list as well.
I need some Undertaker music.
Pete, don't.
Please.
Don't play into the, don't play into the Moose thing. Don't.
Please.
Don't.
Pete was like, my God, it's like a holiday. He's walking around in a Hawaiian shirt.
I finally get.
I told Pete, I go, listen, use the drops. I give you creative control. I'm not going to be up your rear end.
You're implying that I micromanage this guy.
Just a little.
You think I micromanage?
Just a little bit.
I feel like it's not an implication. It's a full-on statement.
I micromanage.
Yeah.
Pete, do I micromanage you, dude?
Oh, what? Stop. No, don't even stop. Don't even answer that. Stop.
No, let him answer. He'll be honest. Let him answer.
Bogus has an update.
Yeah. Take it away, AB.
Well, thanks, Pete.
Well, doesn't DA give you like a list before? That's different, right? I don't... Does the show after this show that's on National Like Us, he hands you like a whole list?
Not a list of like drops to play, but...
A script?
Know, no script.
Okay, well, we don't work that way here. We're loosey-goosey.
That's right. How we are. Same way no, there. No doubt. Right. This show is not scripted. Others are.
No. And AB's here.
And 3-2-1. Your report's brought to you by Kidde. How old are your smoke alarms? Replace them today with Kidde's worry-free alarms. Get 10 years of power and no low battery chirps. Kidde. Technology that saves lives. The Yankees were already 26 games over 500, leading the AL East, and now Giancarlo Stanton appears to be waking up.
There'll be an 0-2 to Stanton. Swung on and driven to deep left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a game-winning bottom of the ninth. Two out. Walk-off home run by Giancarlo Stanton.
There we go.
Giancarlo, non si può stoparlo.
Stop the pain.
It's just fantastic.
Stop the pain.
Thanks
what
for nothing, Mariners.
5-0 down to Seattle. The two-run home run by Sanchez.
Sanchez finally get out of the dump.
Bottom of the eighth.
He's been sucking, Sanchez.
I mean, to tie the game up and then Stanton to win it. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, it really is.
Travel far.
It's a great Yankee win.
Yeah,
if you guys get Sanchez
team.
Hot, you're forget about it. You're on fire as it is now, but if you get Sanchez hot, it's over. You
well,
guys
Sanchez and Stan.
Yeah. And Stan. No,
he's
already Clutch Jones, yeah. What about the big guy, the Judge? He's still playing?
Yeah, he's still there, too. Yeah.
And they have a lot of good players.
They do.
They really did loaded, dude. It's unbelievable.
They've got a great team. What are they, 27 over?
I think it's 27 now.
Some of the
yeah.
Indians, 7 over. 27 over 500.
22.
Rolling right along.
Astros have 50 wins.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second, Mike. Yeah. Thanks. 7-5 the final last night over the Mariners. The Red Sox losing in Minnesota 4-1. Texas a 3-2 win in Kansas City. And yes, the Astros, the first of 50 wins with a 5-1 decision over Tampa Bay. Two homers in that one from Jose Altuve. Baltimore blanked Washington 3-0. That game included a 2-hour, 43-minute rain delay after the fourth inning. And the Rockies rallied past the Mets 10-8. Colorado trailed 4-1 and 8-6. Ryan McMahon clubbing a go-ahead pinch hit 3-run homer in the fifth. The Tigers and Royals reportedly playing in Omaha next June to help kick off the College World Series. The official announcement comes later today. Then tonight, it's the NBA draft, so no one bother Mikey B after 7. DeAndre Ayton, the assumed first pick by the Suns. Then maybe Marvin Bagley III goes to Sacramento. The Duke forward will be waiting patiently.
I'm just going to sit down with my family at the table, enjoy the moment, and wherever I end up going, then that's where I'll be. And I'm going to give it my best and do whatever I can to help the team.
The Grizzlies reportedly shopping the fourth pick tonight, and at least 7 teams have shown interest. Memphis would like to include Chandler Parsons in any deal. He's been limited by knee issues since signing with them and is still owed $47 million over the next 2 seasons. And Kawhi Leonard reportedly told Greg Popovich in their face-to-face meeting Tuesday in San Diego that he indeed wants to be out of San Antonio. Denmark, Australia, France, Peru, Argentina, Croatia on the schedule today at the World Cup in Russia. That first game starts at 8 Eastern this morning. FIFA has fined the Mexican Federation $10,000 for fans chanting an anti-gay slur during their match with Germany. Security has been told to eject fans if they chant it again. And New Jersey Devils forward Taylor Hall chosen as NHL MVP. Vegas's Gerard Gallant the coach of the year. Guys?
All right. Thank you, AB. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now at geico.com.
Let's talk to Chris in Richmond, Virginia. Chris, you're on with Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, guys.
How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Chris?
Pretty good, pretty good. I have a comment about the Dwight Howard comments in the trade. I'm not a big fan of Dwight Howard. I know he's falling off, but I feel like, he's been the third leading rebounder in the NBA this year. He was the fifth or sixth leading scorer as far as centers. I think they got a pretty good deal for him. You know, can you imagine before trade deadline, if Dwight Howard would have went maybe to the Cavaliers or Tristan Thompson, that would have gave him another scorer down plus rebounder. I just feel like, he's fallen off some, but I feel like he's had one of the best years we've had in about 6 or 7 years.
You're breaking up a lot, my man.
Yeah, I don't. It, Chris. And Chris, thanks a lot for the call. You ran through his stats and you did a nice job there. I just don't think Dwight Howard, if you watch him play, is as good of a player as his stats would indicate you to believe. He's always been a good rebounder. Never really evolved offensively. Has been a good finisher at the rim in terms of being a dunker. Never has been a good free throw shooter. And then you look at him defensively, where he is and his efficiency defensively as compared to where it was years gone by. The Nets are not looking at it about adding a quality player. The Nets are looking at it as a pure, let's get out from underneath Timofey Mozgov's contract. It could have been Dwight Howard. It could have been Patrick Ewing. It could have been Akeem Olajuwon. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's what the Nets are. The value the Nets have on Dwight Howard is not his rebounds, his points per game, where he is defensively, his block shots. It's about the $23.8 million that they're going to clear in the salary cap next offseason. That's where they view Dwight Howard. Now, as an expiring contract, will he come the NBA trade deadline conceivably have some value? Conceivably, Taz, but it doesn't help his value when you get the reports that you've gotten about Howard from Los Angeles, from
right.
Houston, now Charlotte, the way it ended down in Orlando, and now with the Brooklyn Nets. I don't know if a contending team is going to look at Dwight Howard and say, that's the guy I want to add to help me win a championship, or I believe because he comes with a huge question mark with him.
Yeah, well, we talked about it in the opening segment of the show. Like, it's just, again, you can't I was just talking to you offline during a break about something else that had nothing to do with pro sports. It was about WWE. It was about how in wrestling, how a locker room is so important. And you could be a hell of a performer as a pro wrestler and great on the mic and all this stuff and have a connectivity to the audience. But if you have a bad rep in a locker room, and it's very difficult then to at the highest level in WWE, just like it would be in the NBA realm, to survive. It's very hard. So you got to have the right demeanor. Not that you got to kiss people's butt. Not that you got to be a phony. But you got to be able to get along the right way. So whatever Dwight Howard's got going on, he's got baggage. And we'll see if that baggage is gone.
Yeah, and there's going to be a big guy and a couple of big players drafted tonight.
Yes.
When you throw in Marvin Bagley III, Wendell Carter, both coming out of Duke. And then it's Mo Bamba out of Texas. And the number one overall pick is going to be DeAndre Ayton, the former Arizona Wildcat star for Sean Miller, expected to be drafted number one overall to the Phoenix Suns. And for Ayton, he expects to go number one overall.
No pressure at all. I'm just waiting for my name to be called number one. And
it's great
I already have a whole load. I have a whole country on my back that I'm representing. And, I just want to fulfill that achievement.
He was talking to a bowl.
Yes, he was off mic tad. But Ayton hails from the Bahamas. Yeah. That's where he's talking about, a country that he is representing. And he's, you look at him, he doesn't have the body of a 19-year-old. Looks like he's cut from granite. And he's 7'1", 265 pounds. He is a remarkable athlete coming out of Arizona. And instantaneously, many scouts believe, Taz, that he's a 20-10 guy that will just get better and better as time does go along. But it's interesting when you think about, I ran through four of the bigger players that are available tonight,
right?
And it's really not a center's league. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley III, Mo Bamba, coming out of Texas. It's really not a center's league anymore. This is not the days when we were watching the NBA growing up, and it was Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon and
standing under the rack doing their thing.
Right, yeah. Jack Sikma. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't it wasn't all these guys, and Sikma was a pick and pop, big man. But that's not the case nowadays. Nowadays, it's about the small forward, the power forward that can transition. Right. It's about flexibility. It's about shooting the threes.
Athletes.
It's about going small.
It's all athletes,
right.
Man.
It is.
That's speed, right? Speed kills, as the cliche goes. It's in all sports. It's speed, 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 athleticism, and more speed. And that's it. That's the NBA. You want fast movement. That's what makes a guy like LeBron James, as we all talk about him all the time, that's what makes him, and you've heard him referenced as like a freak of nature, because he is. He's got all that freaking size, but yet a plethora of speed. Speed is the key, man. So that's why I think the game's evolved.
Here is Marvin Bagley talking about the fact he believes, well, he indeed is the best player tonight in the draft.
I put a lot of work into this, and I think I'm the best player in the draft. And I mean that in the most humble way possible, not to be cocky. It's just I know how much I take time out and put into this, sacrifice for this, and that's just how competitive I am.
Well, listen, he's another kid, 19 years old, man. And you know what? I got no problem with that. He should have that confidence. I respect the kid saying something like that.
How about Mo Bamba? Not a great offensive player, but he's going to be having an instant impact on the defensive end of the floor.
Honestly, I think it's just a Harlem thing. When you talk about intimidation and you talk about just like having that swagger and having that mindset of, this guy's not scoring, I'm shutting him down. I contribute that from being just from Harlem.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. He's a local kid here in the tri-state area from Harlem. He was asked the question because there were reports a couple of days ago the Knicks had a private meeting with Mo Bamba, right? And the report surfaced yesterday, I believe Ian Bagley from ESPN, that the Knicks are interested in training up with Memphis and the Grizzlies to try and get Bamba. And as Andrew just articulated during his update, Taz, the Grizzlies are trying to get out from underneath that bad Chandler Parsons contract, so are using potentially that number 5 overall pick as a little bit of a carrot to take on a bad deal, which would make sense for the Knicks. Now, for Bamba, though, he was asked the question about playing in Madison Square Garden, playing for the Knicks, and he's like, I really didn't grow up a Knicks fan, but I understand the pain that their fan base is going through. I mean, so
oh my God.
He's like, I understand, but I really wasn't a Knicks fan growing up. It's part and parcel with it, but I mean, He's an interesting guy when you look at he's got a wingspan of a guy, a 7'10" wingspan.
Giant.
He's 7'1". He's a great defensive player, and he's one of those guys that you hope develops offensively, Taz, because if he develops offensively, really the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, for sure. And you heard him talk there. I saw him on TV yesterday in an interview. He, very intelligent kid, comes off very articulate. You can see he's a sharp kid. He's in the zone. I think he's the type of guy you can make potentially a franchise guy, because I think that he's talented enough, he's young enough, and he seems very intelligent. Like I said, seems very focused for a kid that age and sharp as a tack. So we'll see where he ends up being in that fifth slot. So that's probably where he's going to go.
Yeah,
I
mean, potentially. Yeah, I mean, has DeAndre Ayton going on overall. After that, it's a little bit of a crapshoot where everybody else does fall. But Mo Bamba is expected to go somewhere in the top 5, top 6 tonight.
I think he will.
That is expected. But he could. He's made it be known that, or his representatives, that necessarily he doesn't necessarily want to go to Memphis, but we'll see exactly where he does end up. But one of those really good talents. Another one would be Michael Porter Jr., who you've got huge question marks, not of him coming out of high school. He was an unbelievable talent and eventually ended up with Missouri. He had back surgery a couple weeks ago, couldn't get out of bed because of what was ailing him to go to a personal workout, and that's been well documented. And here is Michael Porter talking about his health and where he is physically right now going into tonight's first round of the draft.
I had a little episode last week. I had like a little hip spasm, so I went to my workout and it wasn't feeling right. So Mark just wanted to rest me for a couple of days, got an MRI, made sure everything was cool. Everything turned out good, so I was blessed to see that. I've been through a lot, and I'm happy to be here and feeling good.
Here would be the concern I'd have for a guy like Porter. No one's debating his talent, Taz. He's 19 years of age. I mean, all of a sudden.
Most of these guys, they're all young.
They're all young, right.
Jackson's like 18. I think he's 18, right?
Right. Yes. Well, Kevin Knox is the youngest player in the draft. The kid out of Kentucky, he's 18 years of age. Yeah. I think by a certain amount of days, he's probably he is the youngest player in the draft. Put that aside. I'd be concerned about Porter if you are hurt and you have a hard time holding up now, what's it going to be when you're playing 82 games in the NBA regular season? Dude, now,
with men, against men.
And he's an unbelievable talent. I mean, he's 6'10", can do it all, is a great scorer. I mean, there's a lot to like about Michael Porter Jr. The problem you have is, physically, is he going to be able to hold up? Who knows? It'll be interesting tonight.
It will be. I just don't know if he should have somehow, some way, try to keep that under wraps, that he's banged up a little bit. You don't want any kick in the armor right now. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. Unfortunately, the amount of focus that's on it, if you don't work out and you step to the sideline because of a physical ailment, he mentioned the hip issue, that unfortunately is going to get out. Mikey Beer, will you live tweet the draft tonight?
I will not.
You're going, Mike?
I am not.
Why?
I'm enjoying it from my couch.
Oh, very nice. Why are you not going?
Because it's a pain in the rear end. It take me 8 hours to get there. And
they won't let pets in, like Leon?
Yeah, they wouldn't let the cat in, so I said, no way.
Shove him in a backpack.
Leon deserves better.
No, right. Then you let him out.
Get the Taz and the Moose book bag. 855-212.
Hold up. Hold up. Before you give me the phone numbers out here. Every time I put something in this friggin' backpack, I think of the word book bag.
855.
And that's your fault.
There you go. See, it works. 855-212-4227. It is Taz and the Moose with you. If you are won your NBA draft call, certainly DeAndre Ayton, Mo Bamba, Michael Porter Jr. Who do you think should go number one overall? Who do you think the second best player in this draft is? Plus, Phil Mickelson, the lefty, apologizing. You buying it? We'll get into that next. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. It is Taz and the Moose with you. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. So, Taz, while you were away, obviously, we crowned a new U.S. Open champion, or reigning U.S. Open champion, as Brooks Koepka made it two Open titles in a row. First time since Curtis Strange in the late 80s to accomplish that very feat for Koepka, who's now won two majors and only one other tournament on the PGA Tour, but no one will ever take the two majors away from him, and played really, really solid golf as Dustin Johnson collapsed on Saturday, as everyone did, and the course and everything. Like, we got into all that, and on that Saturday round, Phil Mickelson on the 13th decided to putt a moving ball, very similar to what we all do during mini golf.
Well,
right?
Let me interrupt you, sir. Yeah. Most people do that at mini golf.
Yeah.
I don't.
There you go.
Because I'm a stud on the putt-putt.
Nice. Very good. You've made that perfectly clear before, which is a hell of a thing to throw up in the first paragraph of the byline.
It needs to be in my Wikipedia page.
No doubt. I mean, tremendous mini-putt, mini-golf player.
Putt-putt Jones.
Right. Putt-putt. So he decided to do that, took the two-stroke penalty, which comes along with it, and then you saw and heard a lot of pushback on Mickelson, embarrassing the sport. Think about the children. You got to be a better example.
Think about the children.
Should have been disqualified by the United States Golf Association. He came out, was kind of defiant afterwards, said he thought about doing it in the past, did it then, understood what the penalty would be, wanted to move on, knew where the ball was going to end up, basically told everybody to calm down. And I think people made too much out of it in essence of when it transpired. I think the course last Saturday, the United States Golf Association embarrassed themselves with the way that they set that course up, especially knowing the wind was going to come into effect. And that's not it's you want it to be difficult and the hardest challenge, but you don't want to embarrass the guys on the PGA Tour either.
Yeah.
And you want them to be rewarded for hitting good shots, and nobody was being rewarded for hitting anything last Saturday.
No.
Now Mickelson comes out and apologizes.
Right.
Your take.
Look, the guy, is it embarrassing? Do we need to worry about all golf children? No, I don't think so. I don't think this is a big, oh, my God, what about the kids? Relax, it's golf. I mean, the guy it was embarrassing when he did a guy at this level that he's hitting a moving ball. You got to let the ball stop, and then you putt the ball. Okay,
right.
That's what you do. We know the rules. But the thing is, the guy apologized. Who knows what he was doing? Maybe he was having a little bad day. Maybe
he was angry.
Pounding a few. Who knows what he was doing?
You know he was angry. I wouldn't. Don't say that because he wasn't drinking. I mean, he wasn't drinking during the round. But he wasn't doing that. I mean, don't throw that accusation out there.
I didn't accuse it.
But he was angry. He talked about being frustrated. And he said it got the best of him last weekend. He said he apologized. I agree with your instance. I don't think it's about the kids or anything of that nature. I think people got carried away with themselves. He has to understand, though, with everything that he has accomplished now at 48 years of age, he does carry along a little bit of responsibility there to understand what it means to conduct yourself properly on the golf course. I don't think everything he's accomplished has now been taken away. I've heard people say that, or that this is going to be a defining moment of his career, Taz. It's great that he came out and apologized. Do I need to hear the apology if I was upset? I guess so. He's trying to calm it down a little bit and temper down the anger toward him for hitting a moving ball. You look at golf etiquette. They look at themselves and hold themselves to a higher standard with the way that you conduct yourself on the course. But I've also seen guys curse. I've seen guys, caddies, yell at fans for taking a shot of taking a picture when their golfer is on the backswing. So you've seen all that on the golf course. I don't think what Phil Mickelson did last Saturday is the end of the world.
No, I don't either. And look, Shinnecock was brutally hot. Everybody knows that. I mean, besides the elements that didn't make it any easier. So these guys, to your point, they were frustrated. A lot of these guys were just not having good days. I mean, what? So you got a guy like Tiger Woods. He got eliminated what? Like right Friday.
Yeah, he missed the cut.
Thanks for coming.
Correct.
See you later.
Right.
You know, so I mean, it's like, you know, one of the best of all time. I don't care if it's golf or what sport, I don't think any one play, and that's not good English, but I don't think any one play comes down to, for a guy's career, that one play or one moment embodies his whole body of work. That is just a stupid thing to say or think. Please, you know, for someone to think that.
I don't disagree with you. Maybe Mickelson apologized now because of the sponsorship deals that he has, where some have talked about being a serious breach of the rules.
Now,
listen, he's trying to end it. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Should he have? What bothered me more, when he hit the ball on the green, I think it was basically the middle finger to the United States Golf Association. I think that's what Mickelson was, the message was being sent, not to the kids, not to other golfers out there, was basically his anger and frustration about what the USGA did to that course last Saturday. I think what hurt Mickelson was after the round, Taz, the way that he handled the questions. I think if he handled the questions a lot differently and not being as defiant as he was and saying that he had thought about doing this in the past, I think a lot of people probably would not have had the anger and would not have been as strong in their words against Mickelson after the round last Saturday. But that's to me where the life lesson is. If he came out and said, listen, I made a mistake, I embarrassed myself.
Right.
I was angry and frustrated. I'm sorry. It was not one of my finer moments last Saturday after his round. I don't think we get to the point where he's apologizing yesterday to golf.com.
True. And you know what? Look, if he did this, right, and let's say he was like, he hit it the second time while I was moving, and he just starts cracking up laughing and looking into like a TV camera and like just laughs at the people, like, aha, look at me, like you would do on a mini golf course, like just having fun with your friends and your wife and your girlfriend, whatever, floats your boat. You know, and that's a different story. You know, he didn't do that. He didn't laugh at anyone. He's not laughing like, aha, look at me, hit it again. You know, he didn't do that. That would be funny, but he didn't do that. So it's not like, look, the guy is probably just had a lapse. A moment, and look, he's you know, who knows? I mean, whatever. He apologized. People need to move on.
Coming up straight ahead, we'll get a little World Cup update. A lot to get into. Ooh. David Robinson, the Admiral, will join us in studio coming up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time, 5 Pacific, as we roll right along. Hour down, 2 to play with, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 6 Pacific. Taz and the Moose with you Monday through Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.